So today we celebrate all the saints of Russia. And I found, looking around this recent list of material, I found a homily by St. John of Shanghai in San Francisco. He says, "The day commemorating the saints who have shone forth in the Russian land points to that spiritual heaven beneath which the Russian land was founded and lived. Before the Holy Prince Vladimir, there lived on the Russian land separate pagan tribes at war with one another. The Holy Prince Vladimir brought them a new faith, a new consciousness, and meaning of life, a new inner spiritual state. He gave them a new spirit, a life that united everyone, and a single nation was born. The very existence of the Russian nation is tied to the beginning of the spirit of spiritual life within it, with the assimilation of the fundamentals of a Christian worldview. It is senseless to seek the meaning and purpose of life in earthly terms, because that which is earthly and of the fallen world ends with death. One must strive to acquire the divine, grace-filled eternal life, and this temporal earthly life will arrange itself as well. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Faith and the Orthodox Church united the separate tribes into one nation. Faith in the kingdom of God and the search for it, the search for righteousness, became the most important characteristic of the Russian people. For the sake of the kingdom of God, for the sake of participation in it, for the sake of unceasing prayer, Russian ascetics left the vanity of the world and went into the forests and uninhabited islands. They sought only the kingdom of God. They did not want to be found or build. They didn't want to found or build anything. They went away from people, but people followed after them for the sake of the kingdom of God, which was present on those islands and in those forests around the righteous ones. And in this way, small spiritual communities and monasteries were established. The search for righteousness is a basic thread in the life of the Russian people. And it is not by chance that the first written code of laws, which was designed to regulate life, was the Russian justice. It was not only those who withdrew from the world and from the company of men that thought about heaven and the kingdom of God. All believing Russian people understood the meaning of life. All who truly contributed to the development of Russia as a nation likewise considered that their primary concern was to be faithful to the divine kingdom and the divine truth. It is Russia. In Russia, there were princes and military leaders and landowners, people of all ranks and occupations. And all had in common a fundamental understanding and striving, which was the acquisition of the kingdom of God and participation in it. This was the meaning of life. St. Alexander Nevsky spent his entire life in struggles on behalf of the military and the state. He rode on horseback through the whole of Siberia to the Tatar Khan in order to establish peace in Russia. He became renowned for his military victories. But when he fell ill and death came, he accepted it as liberation from the labors of earthly life, and gave himself over to that which was more important and dearer for his soul than everything else of this world. And he became a monk in order to fulfill his longing for the kingdom of God. Not an earthly In their striving for the kingdom of God, such spiritual leaders of the Russian people were the best exponents of the fundamental trait of the nation's spiritual life, of the basic force which guided its historical life. The assimilation of the Christian faith regenerated the Russian princes as well. Authority is always an expression of consciousness and will. Authority is always guided by one or another philosophy, but one or another understands of the meaning and the purpose of life, its activity. Before Saint Vladimir, Russian princes were leaders of warring tribes and waged wars for the sake of military spoil and glory. After becoming Christians, they became the heads of separate parts of one nation, with the exception of Christianity, and there came a sense of unity. Righteousness was the brotherhood of princes, and internecine war before tribes became unrighteous. Prince Vladimir gave the Russian people a new meaning of life and a new vitality. Calamities, failures, and defeats are powerless before the main force of life, powerless before the spiritual life of prayer and fasting and dedication to the services of the Holy Church. The kingdom of God, the spiritual joy of participating in it, remains untouched. The terrible storm passes and again man lives. Thus, during the most cruel tortures, the martyrs rejoice in the presence of God, sensing God's grace. This is the source of Russia's vitality. Calamities do not strike her heart. The Tartars burned the whole of Russia. Kiev fell, and the same year Novgorod arose. And the right-believing prince Alexander Nevsky, that great commander and leader of the Russian people, roused the Russian people for a struggle. Not with the Tartars, who had racked Russia's body, but with the Roman Catholic Swedes, who, taking advantage of Russia's misfortune, wanted to seize the soul of the Russian people and kill the spiritual might of the Russian nation and Russia itself. For Alexander Nevsky, it was necessary, above all, to preserve that spiritual might and culture of Rus. The history of Moscow's ascendancy is a clear confirmation of the same ideas. In its beginnings, Moscow was not a very large city-state, but at its head stood right-believing princes who had assimilated this orthodox understanding of righteousness. And therefore, when the Holy Hierarch Metropolitan Peter told the prince that if he build a home in Moscow for the Most Holy Mother of God, Moscow would rise into prominence, and the hierarch himself would live and be buried there, and the prince fulfilled this covenant. In other words, the Holy Hierarch Peter told him, if you will be faithful to orthodoxy to the end, and will first of all seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness, then all these things, everything earthly, everything of this life, everything pertaining to the saint will be added unto you. Such was Moscow's intent, and it was faithful to St. Peter's testament. The knight must muster military watch on the Kremlin walls, and the Kremlin walls took place with the words, O most holy Theotokos, save us. This does not mean that Russia's life and people were holy. No. Men are always sinful, but when there is a consciousness of good and evil, where there is a striving towards righteousness, restoration is possible. This is what is important in soul-saving. In its historical life, sinful Moscow, the capital of sinful Russia, fell to the bottom, but it rose again because the understanding and the consciousness of righteousness did not die. During the time of troubles between 1598 and 1613, 13, Russia fell so low that her enemies were convinced that she was mortally stricken. In Russia, there was no Tsar, no authority, no army. In Moscow, foreigners were in power. People became faint-hearted and weak, and they awaited salvation from the foreigners with whom they ingratiated themselves. Destruction was inescapable, and Russia would inevitably be perished if the consciousness of righteousness had been completely lost. For the whole day, Yermugin saved Russia and the Russian people. The enemies of Russia held him in a cellar in the Kremlin, mocked him, tortured him, and tried to force him to submit to them, thereby betraying the Russian understanding of righteousness. St. Yermugin was tortured to death, but spiritually he did not surrender. He called Russia to her historical path as a Christian state with a Christian authority. He called her to remember the truth and to be faithful to it. In faith and confession, St. Yermugin spiritually and morally regenerated the Russian nation and again started on the path of seeking the kingdom of God in its righteousness. The righteousness of subordinating the earthly life of the state to the spiritual principles of Orthodox Christian faith. And Russia rose up. In history, there is no other example of such a profound fall of a state and such a rapid, miraculous resurgence. Within a year's time, when the people rose up spiritually and morally, such is the history of Russia, such is her path. After Tsar Peter, public life turned aside from this path. It did not turn aside completely, but lost the clarity of the consciousness of righteousness, the clarity of faith, and the gospel of truth. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. The great sufferings of the Russian people under the atheist communist yoke are the results of the betrayal of Russia herself, her path, her calling. Those great sufferings and the melancholy of life under the cruel atheist authority indicate that Russian people have not completely lost the consciousness of righteousness, that it feels spiritually and morally weighed down by the unrighteousness of the godless state and the godless authority. Russia will arise, just as it rose before. She will arise when the flame rises up, when the people will arise spiritually, when a clear, firm faith in the truth of the Savior's word, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, all these things will be added unto you, will again be dear to them. Russia will arise when she will come to love the faith and the confession of Orthodox, when she will see and come to love the righteous ones and the confessors. Today, on the day of all saints who have shown forth in the Russian land, the Church points to them, and the faithful spiritually exult on seeing what a multitude of them there are in the kingdom of God. And there are countless numbers of those not yet glorified. Hear how Metropolitan Vladimir Kiev went to his death. Quietly, fearlessly, the murderers led him out of the gates of the monastery in order to kill him outside the city. And as they killed the Lord and Savior and in silence, like a lamb before the slaughter, the hierarch accepted death for Christ, for the faith, for the Russian Church, because he sought, first of all, to acquire the kingdom of God and life eternal. As he stood before his executioners, Metropolitan Vladimir lifted up his arms to heaven and prayed aloud, O Lord, forgive my sins, voluntary and involuntary, and accept my spirit in peace. Then he blessed the murderers with his hands and said, May God bless and forgive you. In the silent night, four shots were heard, then two more, and then more. There is a multitude of martyrs and confessors, and again we see God's blessing on their struggle of faith. And again the manifestation of incorrupt relics. The bodies of the righteous who already live according to the laws of future life were there, where there is neither sorrow nor corruption, and the incorruption of their relics testify to this. Thus, the incorrupt remains of the Grand Duchess Elizabeth, which rests in Gethsemane Convent, testify to us of her righteousness in the eyes of God. Russia will rise again when she will lift up her gaze and they see that all the saints who have shown forth in the Russian land are alive in the kingdom of God. The spirit of eternal life is in them, and that it is necessary for us to be with them and spiritually touch and commune with their eternal life. Herein lies the salvation of Russia and of the whole world. Russian humility created faithfulness to the commandment, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. It is humble authority as well, in its days of its greatness, earthly glory, Russia, and its days of earthly glory. By the lips of Tsar Alexander I confessed itself as a Christian authority, and the moment of his glory wrote, not unto us, but unto thy name. The Russian heaven, the Russian saints call us to be with them as they are with us. They call us to commune with the spirit of eternal life because the world thirsts for that spirit. The whole world needs the restoration of Russia from which the spirit of life departed, and the world shakes in fear as it's standing in the face of an earthquake. Russia awaits a Christ-loving army, Christ-loving czars and leaders who will lead the Russian people not for earthly glory, but for the sake of faithfulness to the Russian path of righteousness. Not unto us, but unto thy name. In repentance, in faith, and purification, may the Russian land be renewed, and may Holy Rus rise again. Archbishop John of Shanghai and San Francisco. Now, obviously, this is about Russia, which is very, very important. But it's about us. Namely, what must we do to see the regeneration, first of our own lives, and then the lives of those around us? And if God preserves that faith, and he allows it to spread from one brother and one sister to another brother and sister, so then there will be an example of the kingdom of God. And his light, which is eternal and all-powerful, will radiate out from the hearts of men and women who embrace kingdom of God. And so we will see, we could see, God willing, regeneration even of our own society. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.